Hi, everyone. Welcome to Highly Inspired. I'm Ella.
And I'm Jordan.
We want to take a moment to address something before we dive into this week's episode. Both Jordan and I have been very distraught and saddened by recent events. We both strive to live lives that spread love, joy, and light to the world and to those around us. We have and we will continue to condemn racism, murder, violence, and any other acts of hate. We wish nothing but our love and condolences to George Floyd, his family, his loved ones, and his community. I think what is essential to keep in mind during this dark time is that everyone has a different way and speed to which they process and address issues in our world. A quote that really spoke out to us regarding discussing the current events goes something like this. Some of us are posting on social media. Some are protesting in the streets. Some are donating silently. Some are educating themselves. Some are having conversations with friends and family. Some are continuing to spread love to those around them. Be kind to yourself and to those who are traveling in the same direction. Just keep your foot on the gas. For us, the process of speaking out against injustices has always consisted of research, education, and fully immersing ourselves into a topic, and then sharing our thoughts in a lengthy discussion format that allows us to really devote our time and energy to have the most meaningful, productive conversation possible.
This podcast has always been about investing and speaking the truth to the best of our abilities. We are not experts by any means, but we do speak from the heart and are compelled by the truth. We've always gravitated towards verbal communication over social media or text forms of dialogue. For example, you can take a look at my Instagram. I took down all of my posts about 4 months ago. In this digital age, we have become so accustomed to these social media platforms and devices to mask genuine conversation. Many people say things online that they might not express in person because they feel there's a safety net to catch them. Although there is nothing inherently wrong with expressing thoughts solely through social media, we prefer to present an unmasked, unfiltered version of ourselves so that we can inspire real connectivity. Human beings are social creatures, and we all desire camaraderie, empathy, and compassion. Our goal here is to inspire a positive change that will encourage our listeners to be a light in the world. During the past few months, Ella and I have been working on growing the podcast as a whole and moving it to its next phase. This will be Highly Inspired 2.0. In this episode, we want to say goodbye to the past and work towards moving forward in a better direction. In fact, many of the topics we have already covered in previous episodes are still extremely relevant to events going on right now. A value that is important to us and Highly Inspired as a whole is independent thinking, and it has been an underlying theme in every episode we've posted so far. We encourage the concepts of self-development, observation, and education. Thank you to everyone for listening to this opening statement. We felt it was important to present our thoughts clearly and authentically. It is a unique time. We hope everyone is staying safe and healthy, but also hopeful for a better reformed, more enlightened future. Okay. Hi, everyone. We are back. It's been a little while. There's a lot to talk about today. This week has definitely been a little bit of a whirlwind, as you can predict. However, we are wanting to utilize this episode to get our thoughts out there. Ella and I have not been as active on social media as other people, not really posting a ton. However, we want to use this as an outlet to get our thoughts and opinions out verbally instead of through some other social media platform.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry the world is so horrible right now.
Yeah, it's definitely taking a little bit of a beating. America,
2020's
for sure.
America specifically. 2020's been definitely a rough year. We thought, you know, going into this decade, this was the time everyone was going to be more enlightened and the economy was going to be great. And there's an election coming up. There's so much energy. It's a new decade. And it started off bad and it's continuing to just escalate.
Well, and you know how everyone always sets New Year's resolutions for themselves? This year at my age, I finally set really strict New Year's resolutions and I was so excited. I felt amazing going into it. And then right off the bat, we had Kobe Bryant's death, which was awful. And then the coronavirus started peaking and that didn't look like a great train. And then we finally start to see the light at the end of the tunnel again. And we get shot back down all the way to the bottom and we're back in a new phase and we're not even halfway through the year. So I don't really know how to explain all of the stuff that's going on, but we all have gone through it together. We all are in this together. So I don't know. I think today what we want to do is talk about some of the things that are going on, some of the current events. A lot of social media has gotten taken over by, I mean, just there's a lot of complex ideas and complex conversations that are out there right now.
Yeah.
And because of the stuff that's happened this year and the tensity and fragility in our economy and with people's emotions and just everything, it can become stressful to face more problems and to even talk about those problems. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's really important to just dive deep as hard as you can to just try to talk about these things, or else they're never going to be able to get improved.
Yeah.
So what we want to work on now is how can we improve these areas, and maybe what can we do? What can you do? I mean, we're just little people, but I mean, everyone has an outlet and a way to try to help in any way they can.
For sure. Yeah. And Jordan and I were kind of, even before everything kind of hit a point this week and everything got really a turn for the worst, we had on our own been taking a look at the podcast, re-listening to our old episodes, and kind of trying to strategize how we want this podcast to go moving forward. And I was looking back at all these episodes, and so many topics and themes that we talked about in the past relate to all the unrest that is happening right now in our country, in our society. Clearly, as we mentioned in our opening statement, racism is a big problem in this country, and we're talking about that right now, especially with the recent protests all over the country. I think they're in all 50 states. They're in different places all over the world. And earlier this year, we kind of had our own terrible racist experience that happened on our college campus. Jordan was actually in the classroom, and we did an episode on that.
It's actually our most listened to episode. Fun fact, we had a little bit of an issue with a senior student in one of my business classes who showed up to class on the first day of class, the beginning of the semester, extremely drunk, as he said, which doesn't permit or allow any of the behavior that he ended up conducting. But he said some of the most foul stuff I've ever heard. And it basically resulted in him getting escorted from the building, handcuffed in iron bars with his arms and legs behind his back, and then thrown into the back of a car. I'm not sure what his final
outcome was, but in terms of our school, our college took a pretty strong position on it, and he was expelled.
In fact, right away, the next class in that exact same classroom, the entire administration, news reporters, interviewers, people who came in just to take notes, police officers, they all came in to apologize that we witnessed that, to tell us that they were so thankful that we spoke up and that we took the right measures to not let that
escalate.
Yeah, not let it escalate and get him out of the room. And then from that point on, they made this little monument that we put in the room, and they called it "This is the spot." And on the monument, on the little sign, it talked about how unacceptable that was, and that if there ever happens to be another issue like that in the coming years that gets reported, they will be putting another one of those markers there too. Because I think it's important that on campus, anywhere, if you see that type of behavior, not a single person is allowed to permit that.
Yeah.
Because it's like what they teach little kids in school. If one thing is let slide, then the rest might let slide. Because if one person thinks it's okay, and if one person thinks that that's allowed, that they can do it again, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
It's like when someone says, oh, if someone's going to jump off a bridge, are you going to go with them?
Yeah.
No, that's what this stuff is. Allowing this stuff to happen is basically following that metaphor. So that was a really interesting occurrence. We did a full episode on that. If you guys want to go back and listen to it, I would highly suggest it, because there are some parts of it that are actually pretty amusing. So
it was horrible. But we're glad that that got taken care of and
over with, and done.
And hopefully people can use that as a learning experience to know how to properly conduct themselves in the future if they find themselves in a situation where someone is doing something that's wrong or racist or homophobic or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And in terms of more, I mean, obviously this issue that's happening right now with racism is particularly about police brutality. And that's something that I've been kind of educating myself about recently. I still don't have all the answers. That topic is just so complicated.
It's so multifaceted that it's like, when it comes, it's so hard talking about some of this stuff. We're not experts. A lot of the people that we're discussing this with. We haven't
had personal experience.
Yeah, I cannot relate to everything, but one thing that we all can at least try to do is empathize as much as we can, try to put ourselves in people's shoes. And when debating these types of discussions, analyze all of the parties involved, mm-hmm. We're humans. Cops aren't robots. Cops are people too. No one on this planet that is a human being, we're just so multifaceted.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One of the things that I found really interesting that I want to research more, but this guy, he's actually, this black guy that actually is from Tucson, and went to U of A, which is a school. What was his name?
He was on Dave Rubin.
Yeah.
Brandon Tatum.
Yeah. So he's black and he grew up in a pretty poor community, and he kind of shares his life experience from both angles because he, has his cultural experience, and then he comes to college and he ended up having a career in law enforcement, which I thought was really interesting, kind of seeing mm-hmm. both sides of the equation. And also he kind of brings to light a lot of the issues that he saw in the police force and kind of breaking down why this happened with George Floyd, why this stuff happens, why things get escalated, and why this isn't the first time, why there's bad police officers. And one of the things that I just wanted to quickly bring up that I thought was really interesting was the pension plans for a lot of police officers have decreased a lot. I don't know why government spending isn't in that area, but this has caused there to be a lot less applicants in the police force. And so now the requirement to be a police officer to take this test, this basically like humanity test, used to have a 75% to pass. And now a lot of police departments in different cities, they're only requiring a 40%. So I think you're really seeing a lack of quality of people that are in law enforcement, which is obviously, you get so many more bad people in this powerful position when you lower the standards. And he talked about that. And I thought it was,
that's really, really unfortunate, actually.
Yeah. And I don't know why that is.
It's probably because as we've evolved and there are so many, career paths that anyone could take after they graduate from college.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many more desirable jobs to certain people.
Yeah.
Which means that police officer positions don't end up getting filled by people that might not want them as much as something else. They're just doing it for
the wrong reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. But clearly between Jordan's and I's experience this year with the Chapman racist event and then everything that's happened recently and that has happened in the past, we have to do better. We have to do better at our community level. We have to mm-hmm. do better at a state level. We have to do better as a country and as individuals. Mm-hmm. And I think that what has brought this to even a larger scale event is that we're also, while we're dealing with all this racism conversation, we're in the middle of a pandemic still. COVID-19 is still happening. We're still in a virus. A lot of people don't feel like they have a purpose right now. We aren't in school. We just were on online school. A lot of people are unemployed. Most internships are canceled.
Oh, so many.
It's horrible.
The unemployment rate took a hit for sure.
People and family members that died.
People have lost so many jobs. I mean, the deaths. Yeah. I mean, there are probably so many people that dealt with a death in the family or a loved one and also lost their jobs and also had this and that. And when you have repeated trauma like that, it's so hard for your psyche to process it in such a short amount of time. And you guys, we're talking about a span of 4 months that all of this has happened.
Yeah.
There has not been, I mean, for people of our age, we did live through 9/11. We were very, very young. We obviously don't remember it.
Yeah.
But there has never been this type of span of time where this amount of tragedy has happened.
Yeah.
I would call it tragedy, I think, because our country is really suffering. And what I really want to inspire to anyone listening to this is, if we're going to improve at all, we have to start with these issues, take it to the larger, and then all the way to the large as America as a whole. And we really need to start having faith in it again and not questioning every single part of the system. We really need to come together. And I mean, I'm not a politician, but I think that in order for us to see these issues in a better place at large is, I don't know, just loving America again. Yeah. I mean, we live in like the best country. We really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I was watching, I think it was CNN, and it was really something that we haven't really even gotten a chance to talk about, because we had the virus. We talked about all the immediate deaths, which was horrible. You know, 100,000 people plus died in America. Then you have the death of George Floyd, and we're all protesting that and investing in that. And now there's been all these other deaths that are happening as well as a fallout of COVID and a lot of other problems that are happening. For example, this dad was on, I think, CNN or some other news source, and he was talking about his 12-year-old son who committed suicide because he was depressed about the lockdown. And that's just one story I heard. And then I start looking into it, and he was saying that there was 10 people in his small town, 10 kids that died due to depression related to COVID-19. I mean, no one's experienced this in our generation. Our parents haven't, our grandparents haven't, where people are in isolation for months on end, and people are losing their jobs. You can't connect with people. That is not what our human psychology is meant for. Like we said earlier, we are social people. And
our physical body isn't meant for that either.
No, it's not.
At our lonesome for months on end and only being with your families. I mean, I will be the first to admit, I went a little bit. I mean, there were definitely days where I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely privileged, and I'm so grateful for all the blessings that my life has. I can't even imagine someone else's scenario.
Yeah. No, both Jordan and I are really lucky that we haven't graduated college yet. So we're both able to be staying with our parents during this time and, kind of living off of them. And so many people aren't in that position.
They don't have that luxury.
They either are having to support themselves, supporting a family,
caring for their parents or their mom or someone, an older person who may be more prone to the virus, who may get sick easier. I mean, there definitely were not many ideal case scenarios. And so, to be honest, I think that has definitely been part of the catalyst for where we're at today, this week, with the stuff going on.
Yeah.
Because when people are getting hit that hard, it just adds to the lack of faith in the system even more, and the confusion and the emotional distress and all the questioning with our government and our service position people and just a lot of things, which has probably been a huge contributor to a lot of the violence and unwarranted looting and the scary stuff that a lot of people are afraid to admit. And
I
know. Do you want to talk about that?
Let's dive into that. So obviously there's been two sides of this equation. There's been the peaceful protesting, which is the majority of the people out on the streets that are protesting with Black Lives Matter, who are part of that organization or in support of it. And then on the other hand, you're seeing this other side, which is more of the minority, but still something that can't be glossed over, which is these looters and these rioters who are taking this as an opportunity to cause disruption and create civil unrest, essentially. Yeah.
Or that they're trying to get some money, trying to steal something because they want to sell it for money, or just get out their anger. Honestly, it's not too far from the concept of the Purge movie, if anyone's seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those are about people that are just extremely stressed with whatever's going on in their lives, that they feel the urge and are compelled to just go out and do those behaviors. There has been millions and millions of dollars thrown out from these businesses getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And we've witnessed it where we're from. I've witnessed it in many other states, watching videos and surveillance footage and clips that showcase what some of this violence has consisted of. And to be honest, I feel so bad for those businesses, and I feel so bad for these companies, because they've been struggling to survive through the pandemic, and now they're just taking another hit after that.
Yeah.
And I honestly commend the companies that were able to survive the pandemic, because a lot didn't. Yeah. A lot of restaurants weren't able to. Mm-hmm. Some department stores couldn't even keep the shelves filled for several weeks, even once the quarantine was already
Macy's,
well underway.
Bankruptcy, Neiman's, Nordstrom, all these companies, even big companies, and then small companies that no one even has the statistics
on. And many of those stores, companies are what we all utilize all the time.
Yeah.
No matter what class or state.
Amazon's the only thing that's benefited off the pandemic, unfortunately. But honestly, it's really sad to see. And I think anytime, you know, people lose everything, they don't know what to turn to. They don't have a sense of purpose. They don't have a sense of meaning. So many people's meaning comes from their job or what they get up in the day to go do, like that, like to provide for their family, whatever that is.
A hobby, a passion.
And this quarantine has allowed no one to do anything. And it's been 3 months of that. And you know, people are going to be pent up. People are so desperate, and it's so sad to watch. And there's people who are desperate, and then there's also people that are evil in some of these groups like Antifa, that are there particularly to cause, they're just taking advantage
Antifa,
of this situation.
I don't know if, I mean, I'm not sure if everybody even knows what Antifa is. It stands for anti-fascism. It's been around for years.
Yeah. So Antifa, just to give a quick definition, it's a group that originally was rooted in the right thing, which was that they were fighting the neo-Nazi movement back in Europe, back in the 20th century.
Overseas.
But yeah, overseas. And since recently, they've shifted to become this extremist group that really promotes violence. And they state that their philosophy is that they want to combat ideas, not through speech or debate, but with direct action and physical confrontation. So they pretty much are pretty clear about what their intentions are. They basically want to just cause disruption and take advantage of the situation. And some of the articles I was reading, this guy, Andy Ngo, has been tracking them for a long time. And he even he's a reporter. He's an Asian gay reporter who got attacked by them and suffered a brain hemorrhage, which is crazy. And he was on the news, and he was just saying that these people, they take advantage of movements like Black Lives Matter. And a lot of these Antifa people are actually mostly white, and they hide behind these groups because the larger the protest, the easier it is for bad people to hide behind the good people who are there. Mm-hmm. And they just take advantage of this, and they break into stores, they steal things, they beat up people. It's just horrible. I don't know.
For someone who doesn't understand the difference, couldn't that seem like the KKK in a way?
Yeah. So basically, like, ideology wise, they're technically the exact opposite of the KKK, because the KKK is far right and their ideology is very far left, but they're both, and they're both.
So in a political belief sense, they are affiliated with more left wing thinking.
They're as far left as you could go.
KKK is the complete opposite. Yeah. However, the activities that they're conducting and encouraging
are
pretty much the same.
Are similar.
Okay.
But except that they're not racially targeting anyone. Mm-hmm. That's the difference, just so everyone's clear. Obviously, the KKK had a racial racist component.
I will definitely be, I mean, there's probably a boatload of documentaries and or outlets to try to understand the more ends of this group, yeah. I will definitely be researching more.
It's super interesting. And it's going back to kind of the issues with the police. This guy, Andy Ngo, who's actually from Portland, he was saying that the police don't even, I mean, as frustrated we are with them, they should, at the least, they should be only jailing the people who are actually breaking into stuff and committing violence, but they actually ignore those people and are focused on the wrong things, which you're seeing a lot in these protest videos. You're not seeing,
not just in Portland and everywhere. State,
yeah. And he said that when he was in Portland a year ago for when he interacted with Antifa, it was the same thing. The police engage only with the actual protesters that are there peacefully, and they don't even have any control over Antifa, which that's where they should be, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. Something I'm seeing a lot too on social media and just seeing videos of these protests, it seems like people are grouping a lot of people, which really there are so many parts at play and so many players in these, in these large scale crowds, and it's not necessarily one side against another side.
Yeah. No, and it's really sad to see because I love free speech. I think that that's one of – and I love the right to assemble and all these great things that we have a right to and is embedded in our Constitution. And I love seeing all this energy and seeing people show up to a cause consistently.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
It is so refreshing. But to see these – negative organizations take advantage, and then you see it on the media the next day that it's the wrong narrative. They're saying the whole group of protesters is violent. No, that's not what happened. It's a small group of people.
Yeah. Everyone's being like marginalized in like one group or another group.
Yeah.
But really there's so many subcategories within the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know, I agree. I wish that social media would display that narrative. Oh, these are peaceful protesters. These are people truly going out and being so passionate about the cause that they're promoting, but they are not causing violence. They are not destroying businesses. They are not inciting whatever could be framed negative.
Yeah.
And then there's the other people that are doing those acts. I mean, I've seen countless videos of cops actually with people in handcuffs from these riots, asking them why they were doing that. Why are you inciting this violence? Why were you caught trying to steal and breaking the glass of a business? And many of them literally say to the cop, oh, to be honest, man, I was just trying to get some money. I was just trying to maybe take advantage of the fragility in America right now. And honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is the pandemic, because people have lost so much.
Yeah, they have. And there's no safety net. There's no, I mean, if you don't have savings, there's nothing for you. Like, that's what, like, I don't even know what to tell you. And
this has definitely made me, I mean, I've really internalized I have to have savings going forward.
Well,
you don't know
it's
what's going to happen.
It's hard because it's hard to even have savings because everything's so expensive right now. I mean, a lot of people just live paycheck to paycheck and they don't even want to, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, another movie that this kind of made me think of, and we did an episode on this, was The Joker, just because.
Oh my gosh.
There was so much.
Joker with Joaquin Phoenix is amazing.
Yeah. If you haven't already seen
it. I've seen it three times now.
Yeah.
Twice with you.
I know. We did a whole podcast on it. Feel free to listen to that. But honestly, like, some of the images that I'm seeing of groups like Antifa, and again, just to clarify, not the peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters, but the evil people who are taking advantage of the situation. Those people, the pictures remind me so much of some of the scenes in The Joker, of these people that have been.
Yeah.
I mean, even The Joker himself.
It's like we're in a movie right now watching some of this stuff.
Yeah. He was just pushed down so much of his life. He wasn't lifted up and he didn't have a purpose, and all the people around him that ended up, you know, joining his revolution.
His cause. Yeah.
We're in a very similar situation. I think it was, what, the 1970s? I know the 1970s, there was a huge economic downturn in that time, which is happening right now too. So I don't know. It's just all very fascinating.
I mean, some of the scenes in it, I mean, there were a few close-up like monologues that Joaquin Phoenix did as Joker.
Yeah.
And the quotes that he said just, I feel like, hit home so hard, because he didn't, I mean, no one starts out bad. We're all just trying to survive in this world the best way we can. Mm-hmm. And yeah, certain people that have different skill sets, certain people may be born into different amounts of privilege, but it's all a measure of how we utilize the opportunities that we're given into this world. And sometimes when people have just been knocked hard over and over again, whether that be from people or from financial causes or from, things that we can't even control, a pandemic, a virus. I mean,
yeah,
that can lead to some more unfortunate events that we definitely weren't planning for.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I kind of want to watch that again.
I know. It's such a good movie. Gosh. Oh my gosh. It really makes you think.
Can we talk about, okay, so obviously we're talking about COVID.
Yeah.
And it is still here, guys. Hate to say it. Can we talk about what could happen? Because we were talking about maybe there would be a second wave or whatever. Yeah. Could there be another outbreak or more outbreaks in these areas with these people protesting? Or what are the possibilities? I don't even know.
I mean, probably. What I've heard from the protesters is that they feel like racism is a bigger threat than the virus to them personally. So they want to protest. And
I've seen some people wearing masks, but definitely not everybody.
Yeah. So I think honestly, I've always been like, since the virus started, I kind of was not against the shutdown, but kind of like, I think people should be able to do what they want
completely
to do.
Same.
And I think for the first 2 weeks, everyone was on the same page. And then past that, I was kind of like, okay, like we need things to reopen. Like if, for example, like I think a protest is justified no matter what, because that's the country we live in. That's one of our rights. And, yeah. So
I agree.
I think that if people want to take that risk, that's up to them. If we see a spike, we do. I don't know. That's up to people to make that.
Okay. So for them, they're just prioritizing the protest. They don't, it's not necessarily, it's more just a measure of like what people are prioritizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm on the same page with how I thought the pandemic went. In the first couple of weeks, we were all trying to navigate, okay, what is this going to get to? Mm-hmm. How severe is this virus? The CDC was even predicting 100 million cases in the beginning. And so we were all like, oh my gosh, that is a huge number. We've got to make sure that we're doing the right things and taking the right precautions. And then honestly, right after those first couple of weeks, I was like, okay, wait a minute. The stock market is lower than it's ever been. Our economy is taking a huge hit. We've got to figure out a way to allow people to work and maneuver this virus.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where my head has been at since I came to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that people are now finally able to go back to work and have that purpose again. And now we're in summer, so maybe the heat and longer days will help a little bit more too.
Well, I think too, like at first we had no data on this. I mean, we had these models, but some of them were wrong. Some of them, this is uncharted territory. Like we didn't know what to do. So of course we're going to react with the most intense, extreme position out there because we want to protect all of our citizens. And then once we kind of saw that A, it wasn't as deadly as we predicted. Mm-hmm. B, it clearly targets a certain age demographic, health demographic. Let's work on isolating those people, making sure they have access to the best care before we, you know, we prioritize helping them and allow everyone else to make their own decisions.
Yeah,
you know?
Completely agree. Also, sometimes mistakes provide the best learning experiences. And I think that this has been a massive learning experience for the American government, federal government, because now we know going forward, we have to plan. We have to have a safety net just in case something like this happens. Because when it comes to viruses that can start overseas, people are traveling all over the world all the time, every day. So it's like we're exposed to not only people in America, but exposed to all these other countries 24/7 when people are traveling so much.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely something to take into consideration. And I know, I really hope that our government makes those just security measures in the background, even when this gets better.
Yeah. No, I think that we just need to be prepared for a second wave if that happens, and just be ready for whatever and be ready for any other virus that might happen you know, in the future. Mm-hmm. Okay. So another thing that we kind of talked about in past episodes was why social media sucks. And something that I saw in the news recently that kind of reminded me, well, there's been a lot of things actually in the news recently or things I've seen on social media that have reminded me.
Like that's all I've been
thinking. Why it kind of sucks. And one of the things was I saw Jake Paul, who we did a whole talk. We just talked so much about him in this episode about why we think he represents a lot of negative things and we don't really condone a lot of his behavior, but he was participating.
I really don't like Jake Paul. Plain and simple.
I'm not a huge like cancel culture person, but if there's one person I want to cancel, it's him. Like he's on the top of my list.
No, he has had many, many, many altercations, many moments in his career, is in his influencer career, that he has gotten really close to being canceled, but not 100% canceled yet. And the act that he was caught doing, what was it, 4 nights ago maybe? He was in
our hometown.
He was in Scottsdale, Arizona, not at a protest, to a peaceful protest downtown, actually trying to support Black Lives Matter, but in the area where
all the
Antifa and rioter
looters were. It was only those people. There was no signs. It was like 11 p.m. at night. These weren't protests. It was mainly white people. Like, it was very clear who these people were. And he's just
taking advantage of the situation.
The whole thing. Like, it was so ridiculous. He was inside the mall. Yeah.
And the videos he was taking weren't trying to help the issues going on right now, the social issues. They were literally videos of cops and him messing with cops, throwing things around. And he's frolicking around Scottsdale Road, just acting like a 2-year-old. And I don't even know why he was a part of that. For someone like him with the stature and the amount of following he has, you would think that he would know, I cannot do this. Or, you know how we have like the devil and angel on our shoulders all the time? We have a conscience. We're born with one. That's why we're intelligent species. I don't think that he has one. I just don't. Sometimes I look at what he's done and I'm just like, there wasn't a single thing in your brain that told you this was a bad idea. Or maybe also, his friends just are like, oh, Jake, we can't say that to Jake. Doesn't make sense.
Why was he in Arizona? I was so...
You know why? Because he probably loves to party and Arizona
was open before California.
In Old Town bars, he could go out. Yeah. That was literally why. Garrett, he was probably drunk when he did that.
He probably was at Old Town, wandered over because the
probably place, went to Nobu, had some sake bombs at dinner, wandered over to Old Town, went out for a couple hours, and then when it hit 10:30, he was like, oh, commotion? Okay, calling his name.
I'm going to put this on my story.
Went over there, instead of posting the right thing to help people, help young people, which is most of his following, which is something I also really want to talk about in this episode. He just went rogue and was like, who cares? I'm going to do what I want and not care. So,
yeah. I don't know. That's just been really frustrating to see.
We did talk about Jake Paul in one of our previous episodes. Our two, it was a part one and part two on why social media sucks. This was a big reason why we even started the podcast, because there are a lot of topics relating to social media that we did talk about in that one and we'll still end up talking about in the future.
It's not going away, folks.
No, it's not. And I think that it's time for people to stop looking at it as this, whoa, technology, so cool type of thing, and really educate themselves on all of the holes that are in the system as well.
But social media has been a huge part, especially the last few days. And for me and Jordan, we kind of touched on this earlier, but we're not huge social media users for the most part. Jordan doesn't even have any posts up. I post, but I really don't put stories up. It's been deleted off my phone for several months. I really only check it once a day, if that. So,
dude, we're like the same actually.
Yeah.
I deleted at the start of the pandemic. I went through this whole self-care phase where I was like, you know what? I'm going to giving my dopamine a break. I'm not going to look at social media. I deleted every app off my phone and they have been deleted for 4 months now. I only have them on my iPad. But last year, the last post that I had on Instagram was a year ago. Mm-hmm. And then I got like a notification that I hadn't posted in a year, which most people have never seen that.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Instagram has this? Uh-huh. It's because they want to keep you engaged and want to remind you, okay, I haven't posted anything. So when I did that, I don't know why that notification made me so mad.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm just going to archive my stuff. I didn't delete anything, but I archived everything. And I have felt so much better about it because I feel like when you have old photos that, like, we're constantly changing, right? The brain doesn't develop fully until you're 25, 26 years old. Like, that's a physiological fact. So every year, even right now, like, I have different perceptions of things than I did when I was 18, 17.
Yeah.
And so when you look back at those and you're like, what? Like, what? That was me? Or like, I said that or I did that. And we're all on this journey of like becoming better and checking ourselves and growing. So I don't know. There's my little spiel on that, but I probably won't be back into another phase of engaging with it because I love consuming content, but I don't feel the desire to share it for some external gain or attention or people to comment whatever on my phone. Like, I don't believe in that. And that doesn't provide me happiness, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so there's no point in doing it to just, to just follow along with everyone else, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that actually, I wanted to ask you a question kind of more about that, but especially with this right now, there has been this new expectation that everyone, if you don't post on Instagram, if you, like, for example, if you don't post that black square, you don't post whatever,
about a graphic design photo
about, Black Lives Matter, you don't care about ending racism or whatever. And I was just wondering, I've talked to people and they're like, I'm frustrated by this because I don't use social media that much. I don't want to virtual signal to people. I don't even know how to navigate this because this is all new territory, especially with social media. What am I allowed to post? What is something going to be, is someone going to find more offense if I post, like, if I'm a white person posting something, a black square, is that actually more offensive? I don't even, like, there's so many things that, so many questions I have.
This is the first type of social revolution that we're going through with social media also being in the picture.
Yeah.
So this is also extremely uncharted too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of questions regarding that. For my answer, I don't believe that bullying people into posting something because I don't know. Some people may have stronger feelings about it than others, but I personally would never bully someone into posting something if they didn't believe that.
Well, I don't think it's that they don't believe it. I think that it's that, I guess that's overarching, but I think with this specifically, I think that I've talked to people that are for this issue, believe in it, want to help, but that might be not be their means to help. They might want to donate to something, to a cause. They might want to show their support with protesting or educating themselves or reaching out to a friend.
Going and volunteering in person or interviewing people or, I mean, there's a billion ways.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that at least I've seen with different organizations that I'm a part of, especially in like Facebook group chats, everyone's like, if you aren't posting every day, all day about this, like, you're a horrible person. You don't care about this. And,
no, that's just not true.
Yeah. And I just think I've had people text me that are just like, I care so much, but this just isn't my way about doing it. And I've also seen girls or guys that I know have said racist things in the past pretty recently who then now are posting on their social media the same stuff that everyone else is.
See, that's fake.
And it's like, I don't want someone to think I'm fake either. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be so genuine about this. And it's so frustrating when I'm just seeing people, they just post one thing and they think that that solves something. I don't know.
Yeah. And also, if I were extremely passionate, like, say I were a black person and I want support for the movement more than anything, I don't believe that I would want that from someone who's just doing it to do it and not get canceled.
Yeah.
Like, I would want that support to be genuine.
Yeah.
However method it is, I would want that support to be genuine from them in whatever form they see fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want it to just be some sort of pity post or pity story just to make sure that you're in the clear and that people don't call you out on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that there's some people that like might not even feel that actually in their heart, and they're just posting this stuff to check a box so that they don't get questioned. And I hate that, like, that's almost worse because you're not actually making someone change their viewpoint. You're just letting them hide behind their
own opinions. No, it's lazy. Oh, you're probably going about your day trying to do your errands or whatever you're doing. And then you're like, oh gosh, I need to do this. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
And then you just do it. It takes 2 seconds. What is that actually like propelling or improving?
Yeah. And just to clarify, we're not against posting on social media about this. I think that a lot of useful information that I've seen, that I've learned about, has been shared through social media. But I think it's just, if you're posting on social media about this, just make sure it's genuine, because
yeah,
I just think
social media doesn't display a person's intentions. It also doesn't even display who posts it.
Yeah.
It's just what the post is, what the words are, and then it goes from there. So as much as the words may be good and the post may seem like it has good intentions, that's not always the case. And what we need to make sure right now is that everyone posting in support of Black Lives Matter, or is in support of Black Lives Matter as a whole, like physically and mentally, we need everyone to have just the purest and most genuine of intentions in order to help boost this entire movement.
Yeah.
So
no, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, going off of social media, I feel like another big thing right now that's hitting that we've talked about a lot in multiple episodes is this topic of censorship. Because up until now, social media has fallen under the category of free speech, and Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they all are considered platforms, not publications. And that's kind of all been shifting right now.
That is huge.
Yeah.
That is huge.
And no one has really talked about this, but I think it's crazy.
Well, they've just taken on so many forms in the last decade. I mean, Facebook has been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
Twitter probably around the same time, but Instagram barely a decade.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Snapchat, no, but definitely Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what could be a positive with that switch, and what could be a negative example?
Yeah, well,
regarding that switch?
So we're going to kind of see that play out. Right now, Twitter has decided that they want to go in the publication area. So basically what that means is that they're fact checking things more, they're censoring things more, they're taking posts down if it goes against.
To be honest, I like that a lot, because I feel like there's a lot of propaganda that can be put up on Twitter, and it's literally the home for cyberbullying. Like, it's literally like a breeding ground for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically kind of how that played out was Twitter, I think, censored one of the president Trump's tweets.
Okay. Well, I
and then
don't necessarily know if that's right
and
or not.
No, but this is how it blew up. So just everyone.
Wait, I saw this.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So this is like how it blew up. So Twitter has adopted this new policy, and where they're fact checking things to the best of their ability. Somehow the president's tweet, not somehow, it did. It got flagged. And then obviously Trump, being the person that he is really upset about this. So he comes back and he's like, fine, if you guys are going to like flag stuff and censor it, you're not a platform anymore. You're a publisher. And they were like, okay, fine. We want to take on that liability. So now anyone.
It took that to make them realize that.
Yeah. So then.
Wow.
So then basically now anyone can sue Twitter, you know, usually they used to be protected under the First Amendment, because it used to be considered a virtual public space, and now it's considered like a private entity, the same the New York Times is, whatever.
They have to follow along,
so they
and comply
have to
with the legal, yeah.
Yeah, so like they can't, which is a huge thing to take over, because how do you control content of like millions and billions of people like that? And there's different governments that have different rules, and like you're trying to fact check things, but like not everything's going to get fact checked. And it's just like, you're taking on a lot of weight.
Well, like we said, it's uncharted territory. They're just going to have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe it'll cripple them completely.
I don't know. We'll see.
People will be so afraid of what they're putting out there that they end up not using, engaging with Twitter at all. And then people just don't even have it anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so many Twitter trolls right now. Honestly, that's what I'd like to see them, like, clean up the Twitter trolls.
Yeah. Well, so many, there's people that have like dozens of accounts and they just like go on there and say stuff. Yeah.
I do think it's good to keep, I'm personally always against censorship. That's just kind of the inner libertarian in me. But I personally think if you're going to censor anything, like, keep government out of it, because you could have a good politician one day and you could have a bad president the next, and you don't want them to be in control of what's allowed and what's not on social media.
Yeah. Well, we saw that with Facebook when Facebook was doing that unwarranted and they got so much backlash. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg got ripped apart because he was taking down certain posts.
Yeah.
Like the company was. And I mean, maybe that was actually the start of this whole new phase,
but now
it's just like, if we know whether they're a publisher or not, then at least we can kind of like understand,
yes,
okay, that's why that's happening there.
Yeah,
but if it's unclear, if it's vague, then it's like, what goes, what is getting taken,
yeah,
down? Why is this getting taken down? It's just like,
yeah,
that's so confusing.
I think companies are allowed to do whatever they want. They just need to be clear about it. So I'm glad Twitter clarified things. And interesting enough, now Facebook is saying that they want to still be a platform and they don't want to do what Twitter's doing. So they want to stay a platform and have free speech. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how the two, mm-hmm, balance each other out. I don't know.
Actually, maybe they will.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I know that a lot of young people aren't on Facebook as much anymore, but I mean, they still have pretty much the same amount of users. So
yeah,
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, social media can suck sometimes. Go listen to our previous episodes on that. I've been trying to think about, so obviously our Joker episode, the recap of the racism incident at school. We talked about the virus. We talked about our social, like, we've had a lot. We have been on this podcast journey for about a year now.
Yeah.
We have not posted an episode every week or anything like that, but these topics are so all encapsulating.
Mm-hmm.
And even within them, there are a lot of hints of subtopics and subcategories that also apply to today. And I really love those topics because they're just so broad and so important,
yeah,
and so relevant to so many people. And I definitely want to continue on that path with talking about, like, I mean, sometimes it can be hard,
mm-hmm,
to face those types of topics and to try to wrap your head on it. I mean, I'm young. I'm trying to formulate my ideas too. This has been such a great outlet for me to really think about these things, mm-hmm, and come to conclusions. Like, that's,
yeah,
what a lot of people, I feel like, don't do, especially when you're young and you're getting exposed to so much stuff and like becoming an adult. It's really good to actually, okay, you're presented with a new topic. You're presented with a new argument. You're presented with a new opinion. Instead of always looking at it with, oh, that's wrong or that's wrong because of previous conceptions.
Challenge it.
Really challenge it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I feel like a lot of people either are really good at or they're really bad at, and they,
yeah,
don't do it at all.
Yeah.
But we're all humans. No one, I mean, we're all the same in a lot of similar ways that we don't know a lot of things. We do know a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I'm going to get better at it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And take that on with me into new episodes and more stuff that we talk about, because,
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's good to debate and challenge yourself sometimes.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
Well, kind of the last topic that we want to talk about is, we want to give some hope to everyone. Talk about something positive that we saw in the news this week.
Something that got a little bit brushed under the rug.
For the right reasons.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of bad things happening right now, so I'm not complaining that this wasn't the center of attention by any,
mm-hmm,
means. But I am a positive person, so I like to end on a good note. And SpaceX and NASA had a launch, which is great. And
I don't know if any of you watched it. I watched it. I set my alarm to make sure I was like on it. They tried to launch it 5 days ahead of time, which honestly might have been in their benefit given that everything kind of hit a peak,
yeah,
on Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched it and it was really successful. Elon Musk had probably one of the best days of his life. That, can you imagine being able to say that you started a company, built a company that made rocket ships? You sent a rocket ship with human beings up into space and successfully had a landing, and they're now on the ISS, International Space Station. They did a little video with the other guys. I don't know what other countries they were from, but yeah, that's just so cool. Like a little, a hub up in space, orbiting Earth miles and miles outside of our atmosphere. And it's all these people from all these different parts of the world just coming to work together.
No, it's cool.
They all have different skills. They all have different like physics or astronomy backgrounds and stuff. And they have their little like careers up in that ship.
It's so cool.
It's honestly insane for me to think about sometimes. I love that stuff. I think that Elon's next mission is going to be 100% Mars.
Yeah.
No. And every podcast I've ever listened to him on, it's always
Mars.
We've got to go to Mars. Like, when are we leaving? Do you know when we're leaving? Actually, I bet it's going to be in the next 5 years.
I honestly don't doubt it. If you haven't listened to it, I recommend listening to his newest podcast with Joe Rogan. That was great. Elon Musk has a great story too. I don't know if anyone knows his story, but he grew up in South Africa, and then his plan, he always wanted to get to the U.S.
You can tell his accent.
He knew he always wanted to get there. He was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but like, I want to get there. I want to like build something. I want to do something better for humanity. Like, I just love his spirit. And he moves to Canada because I think he had an easier way to citizenship there. And then he then moves from Canada to the U.S. with like a few thousand dollars in his pocket, so much student debt. Mm-hmm. And then he has SpaceX, Tesla,
the Boring Company,
like so many things.
He was in PayPal. I think PayPal was what he started with.
How he made his money, I think, to begin with. He had his own company and then he invested in PayPal.
No, he's insane. A genius. Honestly, I don't know what his IQ is in numbers, but I want to know his IQ so bad.
I know.
He might not know how to talk as eloquently as some other people, but he definitely has something to say. And I listen to him and very focused when I hear him on podcasts or whatever.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be going to Mars soon. Honestly, the people who left Earth recently, not a bad option considering the state of everything right now.
Good time, yeah.
But
I know. What do you think they're thinking? Because I don't know.
Do they get updates? Do they have social media?
I mean, they don't have cellular connection, but they have way more advanced technology. I think that they are, like, if someone sends like a video or some sort of file, they're able to like open it on their computers and stuff.
Definitely not as exposed to it as.
I mean, they can't take an iPhone up there. An iPhone isn't going to work in space. Definitely not. But yeah, we wanted to say that, shed some light and congratulate them because that's a really exciting event. Probably one of the only happy, positive note things that have happened in 2020 because everything else has been
horrible,
a little bit negative. But we are going to work towards getting better, hopefully. And I mean, I feel like I have just been consuming so much information and trying to educate myself on all these current events that are happening in America right now this entire week. Like, this is literally all I've been focused on.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let it die. Like,
no,
this is my summer because of the pandemic. I have a lot of time this summer and I'm going to continue to do that. You will too.
Yeah.
I recommend other people do that, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement. It's extremely important. Mm-hmm. Because once again, like, these topics are just really multifaceted. Like, we don't know everything. So
No, we're on the pathway of learning and growing, and we're not going to get it right 100% of the time. Obviously, we're far from that.
We're human. No one's perfect.
Our brains aren't even developed yet. We're only 20. So we're giving it all we can. And we just want to let you guys know that we love you. And we just, hope you learned something.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I am really interested for anyone who's listened all the way through to hear what your guys' thoughts are.
Yeah, please comment on our Instagram.
To this. Yeah. Also, a little teaser. In the next week or so, we will be posting again. So stay tuned for that.
Highly Inspired 2.0.
Thank you guys for listening. We will see you soon. And stay safe, stay healthy, and catch you later.
Bye.